And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It's Friday, April 12th. This is the final work week strategy show of the regular season. I'll be back for NBA Live before lock on Sunday, but this is basically the last time I have to talk about garbage basketball. We start to get playoffs and play-in tournaments and stuff next week, so that's exciting. I'm ready to put this garbage to bed. But we're here now, breaking down an 11-game slate. Lots to talk about. We're going to keep it on the same sort of theme that we've had over the rest of this week. Running sims to start the day is meaningless. We have no idea who's going to be playing by the time we get to live before lock later tonight. Make sure you're tuning in for that one. I'm going to grab ownership if we have it yet. We do, 4 minutes ago. Perfect. So I'm going to grab that, get everything locked and loaded, but we've got a ton to talk about. We'll be able to move pretty quickly, and I'm going to touch on all of the teams that have things to play for or may have things to play for, since we don't really know what teams care about, but I assume there's going to be a lot of jockeying for spots. We're going to hunt all of that down today, and that's sort of the more important piece here, getting an understanding of what teams are trying, what teams aren't trying, what the injury reports look like. This is an information show more than a this is who you should play show. So we'll have some fun. It's a good time. I enjoy it. I hope you guys do too. But I'm definitely excited to start talking about real basketball again. These final 2 weeks or so of the regular season are always just pretty unappealing. And I love talking basketball in general, but I like talking about it when it's good. And when you can talk about real rotations and not whatever the hell is going to be happening in Memphis tonight. So let's get it started right out of the gate. Hit that like button. That's the most important thing you could do. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Shout out DraftKings Pick 6. It is now legal in North Carolina. I haven't messed with it yet because I want to spend some time learning the game. But I'm excited. I mean, anything we can do peer-to-peer is going to be a good time. We've got content breaking down how to play Pick 6 on our YouTube channels. I know Eric's putting out Pick 6 plays every single day, so don't miss that kind of stuff. But for now, let us break down a little bit of basketball. What do you say? Bang. First game up. Orlando Magic. 8-point dogs in Philadelphia. 213 total. This is the second lowest total on today's slate. Now, Orlando only has one thing going on. It's a Q tag on Franz Wagner. He has missed the past two games. So hopefully they can get him back. Now, Orlando is still playing for a ton. They want to win this game. Orlando still has a 10% chance. I mean, they have an outside chance to be the 3 seed, but if we want to be realistic, a 10% chance to host a series and be the 4 seed. The more likely scenario is that they're the 5 seed, but they can still fall to 6, 7, or 8. It's possible that Orlando can host a playoff series or not host the first play-in game. The swings here are massive. So based on that information, Orlando wants to win this game. They want to play Franz Wagner if he can go, and they want to do everything in their power to pick up a dub. Philly, meanwhile, is all over the map. They can get as high as the 5th seed. I mean, they're basically competing with Orlando for the exact same thing. They can get as high as the 5th seed. They're 26% to be the 6th. So right now, they are 40% to get out of the play-in, 60% to be in the play-in. Both of these teams want this one in a big way. Because Philly definitely wants to get out of the play-in, and if you get out of the play-in, you want to be the 6th seed so that you're not on the same side of the bracket as Boston. If they're in the play-in, then, you know, all bets are off. You just want to win, but you're also okay with being the 7th seed, getting a home. I mean, the 7th seed is kind of a decent spot right now. If you could win your home game, that would be great, obviously. That gets you into 7. And then the most likely scenario is that you're playing the 2 seed Bucks. And we have no idea what the status of Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be by the time we get to the first round of the playoffs. I don't know why my phone's just shouting at me. So while Philly would love to probably be seven, if they knew they could be seven, the goal is probably six. Now, here's the deal. Low total. Both teams are a little bit better defensively. Not a lot of pace in this matchup either. And if Franz Wagner's in, we're just not going to the Orlando Magic today. That's just not going to be what we're looking for in any way. And that's not surprising either. Like, the game itself is great for competition. It's not great for DFS options. We have, like, the highest ranked guy I have is either Franz or Mo Wagner, and they're both like 50th overall. The highest owned guys are Paolo Banchero and Mo Wagner at 5% apiece. No one got higher than 6% optimal. On an 11 game slate, I'm not digging into something like this. We're just not paying that close attention to Orlando. If you like some of their best plays, they can be in GPP lineups. We're not taking any stands here. Now for Philly, basically the exact same scenario. Philly has a Q tag on Embiid, a Q tag on Kyle Lowry. Highest owned guy is Joel Embiid at 2%. No one's getting any love here. I prefer Maxey at 8,500, but that guard area is going to be loaded. Highest optimal is 7% to Embiid. I don't think you're playing anything in this game. I don't think you look at Orlando and Philly and think that's the spot I want to get to. Chicago and Washington. Now, obviously, the Washington Wizards have absolutely nothing to play for. Bulls are 1.5-point favorites in Washington, 222 total. This is where it gets interesting because Chicago is locked into the 9 seed. They are hosting Atlanta no matter what in their first play-in game. So the next two games for Chicago don't mean anything. Are they going to rest people? Maybe. Or do you just simply play a little bit lighter in both games? Maybe. But no matter what they do, nothing from their performance today affects any bit of their seeding for the playoffs. Now, we're getting a ton of ownership to Chicago because the matchup's great. Washington's defense is terrible. They play at the fastest pace in the league. 20% ownership to Caruso, 20% ownership to Kobe White, 30 to DeRozan, 30 to Vooch. They're on a back-to-back, so we don't have their injury report. We can only guess. Maybe Dosunmu moves back. Maybe he's not. I would expect Alex Caruso to be sitting one of the next two games for the Bulls. I assume they have two left. I assume they play Sunday. I think everybody plays Sunday. I don't see, like, these guys look good. Caruso, Kobe White, DeRozan, Vooch. They're good plays if they're in. But we have to be very, very dubious of the upside in their playing time. They don't have to run anybody into the ground. Maybe they do. Maybe they want to stretch people out. We don't know. But Chicago's scary because the game means nothing. Now, we have DeRozan, Vooch, Kobe White, and Caruso all about 15% optimal. So they're pretty over-owned. I'm terrified of this Chicago spot. But we might get their injury report. Matthew Lubert, there is no injury report. Dosunmu's not doubtful. There is no doubtful. I assume Drummond's not playing, coming off of that sprained ankle. In theory, they could bring him back. I don't know what they would do that for. There's no reason to not make sure he's 100% okay. Not that that really matters either. It's Drummond. He's the backup center, but that's besides the point. We don't know what this team's going to look like. They could sit everybody. We could get their injury report at 1:30, and they can sit every single player on this team. We have no idea. But if they're all in and you project them for their normal minutes, they look great because this matchup is undeniable. But we're going to need that injury report, and we're going to hope for at least a little bit of word from Chicago on how they're trying to play this one because it doesn't matter. Now, Washington, they don't give a shit about anything. Yeah, Ken, he sprained his ankle basically trying to dunk his own teammate. Now, for Washington, we don't really have much ownership coming in. It should be, but we don't know what they're doing here yet. Rashawn Holmes is questionable. Omer Yuri's questionable. Jordan Poole's questionable. Kuzma's already out. Now, we're not showing a lot of ownership, but I think they should be getting it. I went 28 minutes to Patrick Baldwin. We have him 24% optimal, 20% owned. I have him as the number two play on the slate. But if Jordan Poole plays today against Chicago, he looks awesome. He's 7,700. There's no Kuzma around. He's going to take every shot he wants. We gave him 33 minutes. We only have him 3% optimal. I gave him 35 minutes. I want to get to like a lot of Jordan Poole. We're talking about a guy with the guys that are available for Washington with like a 30-something percent usage rate, a 35% assist rate. I think Jordan Poole looks amazing, and we only have him in for 8% ownership. Now, maybe it changes. Maybe he doesn't play. We have no idea. But I want to get to a lot of Washington. Kispert, Avdija, maybe Jared Butler, Jordan Poole if he's in, Butler if he's out, Patrick Baldwin at 3,900 playing massive minutes. If Rashawn Holmes plays, like, you can play him. I don't know if you want to do that. But we should be paying attention to Washington. Them not caring doesn't really matter. Like, we're going to find value from the Wizards today. And it might look even better by the time Chicago releases their lineup and we find out who's in or out. I'm assuming, based on the line, some people are going to be out for Chicago. On the year, Chicago's been about 6 points better net rating. They're definitely better with Kyle Kuzma not playing for the Wizards. So I think Chicago would be bigger favorites here if they were expected to be at full strength. So I think that we need to assume somebody sitting from the Bulls. But whoever's in for Washington, we're going to have a couple guys here that look good. It's probably going to prioritize Kispert and Avdija, but if Poole's in, yes. And obviously, we already like Patrick Baldwin. I forgot to get a drink for this show. It's kind of a mistake. All right, Charlotte Hornets, 7-point dogs in Boston, 217 total. Now, this one is impossible to talk about. Q-tag Nick Richards, Q-tag Grant Williams on Charlotte. Clearly, they have nothing to play for. They're only 7-point dogs in Boston, so that should give you a little bit of a sign. 8% ownership to Trey Mann. Seems fine. We have him 13% optimal. Looks like a decent play. Plays about 32 minutes a night. You know the dudes you can get to from Charlotte. You want to play a little Bertans for value? Go ahead. It's probably not going to look like good value by the time the day is over. There's a reason he's 1% owned. You know, Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges, those are the guys you could take flyers on. If everybody's out for Boston, then you might feel a little bit different about Charlotte. But we don't need to go to Charlotte today, and that ownership shows it. Now, Boston, we're not even going to talk about. One, they're on a back-to-back. Two, no idea who's playing today. They played a bunch of guys. My assumption is that most of the real dudes for Boston aren't playing. They have absolutely nothing to play for. They're clearly the one seed by a mile. Will we find interesting plays for Boston later today once we get their injury report? Probably. This could be a Jaden Springer day. This could be an O'Shea Brissett day. This could be a Cornett or Tillman day. One thing is for certain. There's no chance Al Horford's playing today. He's not playing on the back-to-back. He played yesterday, right? Let me just make sure I'm saying that. Yeah, Al Horford played a little bit yesterday. I'd be shocked if he played today. They might not play much today either. So we're going to need their injury report to find out what we can get from a value standpoint from Boston. Otherwise, don't play anybody from the Celtics until we know who's out. See, some of this stuff, like, you just can't talk about. There's no way to talk about Boston right now. Nuts. All right, hit the like button. That would help me out a ton. I do have one thing to talk about. 30% off our MMA product, our UFC product, let's be clear here, using the promo code 300. UFC 300 is coming up tomorrow. One of the biggest pay-per-views in the history of the UFC. The card is stacked. If you're like a just like a casual MMA fan, go out of your way to watch everything you can for free. And if you don't want to pay for it, do what you can, because you don't see cards built like this. It is action from start to finish. Name value, crazy. We've got projections, ownership, a top fighters tool, and sims for UFC. and you can get it for 30% off using the promo code 300. You don't want to miss this one. MMA is a fun sweat. If you've never done it before, throw a lineup in and watch some of the fights, because you're just watching for people. You're going to look at your six people and you're like, okay, I hope this dude knocks out his opponent in the first minute. And cheering for that is fun. I wish we could do 30% on the pay-per-view too. It's going to be a fun one, guys. You don't want to miss it. So make sure you're checking out UFC 300. Make sure you're using the promo code 300. You can find that link in the description of this video. The Indiana Pacers are 3.5-point dogs in Cleveland, 233 total. Now, for the Pacers, there's a Q tag on Isaiah Jackson, and that's it. For Cleveland, doubtful tag Sam Merrill, Donovan Mitchell's available. So both of these teams are essentially at full strength for what we normally see for them. Indiana, all over the map, a lot like Orlando, a lot like Philly. Cleveland, all over the map, a lot like Orlando, a lot like Philly. Cleveland has a 10% chance at the 2 seed. There's a 2% chance that they fall all the way to the play-in if this breaks wrong. They could be 3, 4, 5, 6. Cleveland's all over it for seeding. So they're going to try to win. Indiana, outside shot at the 3, but 4, 5, 6 is their core. They could be 7 and they could fall as far as 8. So Indiana wants to win this game. This is a game where both teams should be going for the win like a normal regular season game. I don't think anybody's going to like dial it up to try to like go crazy. You could see an extra minute or two, but in this situation, both teams want to win. Indiana's getting no love. Number 6 defense for Cleveland. They're 26th in pace. The highest owned guy for Indiana right now is Miles Turner at 5%. The highest optimal we have is Miles Turner at 7.5%. I don't really have these guys ranked all that well. I'm not much of a believer. This is a team that I don't expect to be getting to, barring wholesale injury news. These are all middle of the pack plays at best. The highest ranked guy I have is Nembhard. He's 71st. Put that into perspective. Now, Cleveland, little bit different, but not really. They should look better. It's a bad defense for Indiana. It's the second fastest team in basketball. But at full strength, they're kind of a little overpriced. With Mitchell back, it kind of changes things. If you're going anywhere, it's Mitchell. He's 1% owned. That's also the most ownership coming into anybody on DraftKings for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't really see how you get to this one, and I thought this one would have been a great one. 2.5% optimal to Evan Mobley is the highest optimal rate. So the two games we care about the most so far, Orlando, Philly, Indy, Cleveland, in terms of both teams going for it. All four of those teams basically look awful today. I've been talking. I didn't even know I didn't have my shit up. Sorry, guys. I walked through this. None of these guys look good. Echo, I think Pajeda starches Jamal Hill. I think Jamal Hill is extra special fraudulent in a spot like this. And I think Pajeda I don't think the striking levels are comparable. And I don't know what else Jamal Hill is going to bring to the table. I think Pajeda just puts him to sleep. So yeah, Orlando, Philly, Indy, Cleveland, they all have something to play for. None of them look any good from a DFS perspective. As always, I'm going to reiterate this throughout the entire show. In situations where you think stars are playing their full minutes, they're more than reasonable GPP plays. You want to play Donovan Mitchell if you think he's playing 35 minutes? Yeah, do it. That's a great GPP pivot. But none of these guys look good. All right. Brooklyn and the Knicks. Battle for New York. I already took the under on Nick Claxton on Prize Picks, PRA. Now, Brooklyn has nothing to play for. We know that. That's part of the reason I took Nick Claxton's under. If we look at New York, Knicks have a lot of wiggle room. They're more than likely going to be the 3 seed. They're 67% to be the 3 seed. However, they're 17% to get to the 2, about 17% to get to the 4. Could fall to the 5. Don't want to do that. So while the Knicks don't really like have anything major to play for, surely they're still trying to win. And it's not like Tibbs takes his foot off the gas. So we have 13% ownership coming into Noah Clowney. Played a ton of minutes last time out. 4,200, power forward center eligible. I have him ranked 25th. I think that ownership is largely warranted. We have him as a massive negative leverage play, but 4,200 for a power forward. He's definitely the best guy you can get to from Brooklyn. If I'm going to anybody else, it's Dennis Schroeder, 6,100, going to be around 0.9 fantasy points per minute. But let's remember, this is a top 10 Knicks defense and probably top five when Ananobi's around, and they're 29th in pace. Brooklyn's slow too. This has a 209.5 total. This game has the lowest total on today's slate. Very difficult to want to get to anything from Brooklyn. The Knicks are different because you assume Tibbs is just playing these guys the same run. So 15% ownership to Isaiah Hartenstein, 10 to DiVincenzo, 10 to Josh Hart, just shy of 10 for Jalen Brunson. I've got some interest in OG Anunoby, even though he hasn't been good on a per minute basis. But I want to get to these guys. These are like 10 to 15% owned dudes. And you trust the Knicks a little bit more. And it's not like Brooklyn's any good. We have 11% optimal going to Hartenstein. We are a bit negative on Hart, DiVincenzo, and Brunson. But assuming Tibbs makes no changes, I think you're expecting 37 minutes out of DiVincenzo. I think you're expecting around 27 minutes for Isaiah Hartenstein. You're expecting around 38 for Brunson. You're expecting 40 for Hart. Those guys all look good. Ananobi's probably playing in that 32 to 34 range. This all looks pretty good. Now, on the off chance, we do have one talking point here. Knicks are on a back-to-back. On the off chance, they sit Ananobi. Now, I don't think they would since it's an elbow, but on the off chance, they sit Ananobi. Miles McBride's probably going to take a bit of a bump back up. You're probably going to start projecting him for like 40 minutes again. Keep an eye on that one. But otherwise, get to the main guys from the Knicks. Why not? What's the downside? Tibbs going out there and playing them 22 minutes? This dude never does that. Never, ever, ever. All right, Lakers. 15.5 point favorites in Memphis. This is the one that we don't want to talk about. Now, the Lakers have a Q tag on Bron. You guys should be pretty used to this one at this point. There's no ownership coming into anybody other than AD. We're going to have all the salary in the world to pay for him if you want him. He's 10-3. He's power forward, center eligible. He's a 1.5 guy over the past month. We have him 10% optimal, 9% owned. Nobody else getting any other love here for the Lakers. Now, everybody knows here that the Lakers are playing for everything. They can be the 10 seed, which is the most likely scenario, but they can still get to 9 and host that game, which is a massive change. And they still have an outside chance to get to 7 or 8. An 8% chance, like that's 1 in 12. You're taking that shot. To be able to get into 7-8 is huge. You want to have a chance to only play one. You only have to win one game if you're in 7-8. You got to win two if you're in 9-10. So the Lakers are going for this. And they're lucky enough to play the dog shit Memphis Grizzlies. And that's the team that we sort of have to talk about right now. Because they don't have dudes. I think they have 8. I think they have 8. They might have 9. I'm going to look at this again quickly just to make sure. Goodwin, Pippen, Timmy Allen, Xavier Simpson, GG Jackson, Jack White, Jake LaRavia, Trey Jameson. I think they only have 8. Look how stupid this is. Aldama out, Bane out, Clark out, Jackson out, Kennard out, Conchar out, Morant out, Rose out, Smart out, Stevens out, Watanabe out, Williams out, Williams out. What are we doing, guys? So, you gotta play Memphis. You gotta play Memphis in a major way. You're playing a ton of Memphis because I think they only have 8 bodies. I still have 6 minutes left to project to some of these guys, and I can't figure out who I can give it to. So we can talk through what this is going to look like. 50% ownership coming into Jordan Goodwin. He's your first dude that you're getting to. I have him ranked 4th. 44% ownership to Jake LaRavia, who I think played 40 minutes last time out. Completely warranted. 5,300, small forward, power forward. I went 33 minutes, could play upwards of 40. 33% ownership to Scottie Pippen. 6,300, point guard eligible. Absolutely have to get there as well. And when I say that, I don't mean like all of these guys end up in the same lineups. It's just these are the best plays of the day. GG Jackson, 15% owned. Looks great. Timmy Allen, 3,800, shooting guard eligible. Certainly a flyer. Trey Jameson's pulling 10% ownership. I hate the matchup for him, but they don't have anybody else out there that can do his kind of stuff. He's going to play every minute he can before he probably fouls out. Happy to get there at 5,100, but he's center only, so you limit him a bit. Xavier Simpson, certainly in play. 7% owned. I like him a little bit more than we do. The only guy that's not getting a more than 1% ownership is Jack White, and you could certainly get to him. He just hasn't been very good. All of Memphis is in play. Some of them are aggressively priorities. 29% optimal to Laravia, 27% optimal to Jordan Goodwin, 21% optimal to Scottie Pippen, 15 to GG Jackson. You are rolling the dice on Memphis for sure. You're probably building a lineup with at least one Memphis guy every single time you do it. This is the best spot. It just is. Because they don't have enough dudes. They only have 8 bodies, as best I can tell. If we find out they get a 9th, great. But it seems like they only have 8. At which point, they got to play 240 minutes one way or the other. Now, do I think they're going to win? Certainly don't. Lakers have everything to play for. Memphis couldn't have less to play for. This is gross. It's gross. My favorite plays here are Jordan Goodwin, Jake Laravia, Scottie Pippen, and for me, Xavier Simpson. What a game, though, guys. What a game. All right, Toronto Raptors, Miami Heat. So Raptors, nothing to play for whatsoever. It's actually in their best interest to keep losing. The more they lose, the better chance they have of keeping their pick this year. No one's getting any love from Toronto. They're facing Miami. Miami is the slowest team in basketball right now. They're the number 5 defense. The most ownership going to anyone is 1% to Kelly Olynyk. No one else even rounds up to 1. The highest optimal rate that we got for Toronto is 2.4% to Emmanuel Quickley. You are not going to roster anyone from the Raptors on purpose today. Run away from it as fast as you possibly can. Now, the other side of this one. This is the one that we got to talk about because there's a lot going on. Now, there's no ownership coming into Miami, but Miami cares. 55% chance at the 8 seed, 36% chance at the 7 seed. At the very least, you want to host that game, especially if you're if you get stuck having to play someone like Philly. But you want to host the game. They also still have just shy of a 10% chance of getting out of the play-in entirely. Again, that is absolutely a goal. So Miami, I assume, is trying to win this game. 6% ownership to Tyler Hero, 6% to Caleb Martin, 4% to Bam. No one's rostering Miami here. I think Tyler Hero is getting slept on. We have him 6% optimal, 6% owned. I'm projecting him in a much bigger way. I have him at 1.14 fantasy points per minute. I gave him 35 minutes. He's 7,100. He's point guard, shooting guard. If Tyler Hero is 6% owned, he's one of my favorite GPP plays today because I think he can carve up Toronto. They're trying to get him right. They don't have to put the pedal to the metal with everybody. And getting Tyler Hero some extra touches and getting him back in the flow, I think is important for Miami, especially since we didn't see him at all last year during the playoffs. So assuming Tyler Hero is unencumbered today, I think he's your best option for Miami, and I think he's legitimately under-owned. If you want to go to Bam, if you want to go to Rozier, if you want to go to Butler, GPP flyers only. That's it. But remember, Miami actually cares about this game. All right, quickly, let's talk about Pick 6. You can sign up for Pick 6 if you are in a legal state using the link below. By below, I mean in the description of this video. Get up to $100 in Pick 6 credits with a $5 deposit. This is a peer-to-peer pick'em game, and it's going to be the future. You're going to see this type of game popping up more and more in the future. DraftKings trying to get out in front of it. It's a great situation because with peer-to-peer, you're going to feel a lot like if you've got the edge, you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to be able to get the action down that you want. And just like everything else here, you're going over under, but their lines don't move. They're static. And that starts to make things a little bit different. I want you guys to go check out the Pick Six videos that we have on the Odds Shopper channel. Goes over everything that you could possibly want to know about DraftKings Pick Six, because it is a unique format in the industry. We also have Eric giving out Pick Six plays on a day-to-day basis. You can also get more Pick Six plays from Odds Shopper if you sign up for Odds Shopper. They are loaded if you want them. All you guys got to do to sign up for DraftKings Pick Six is click the link in the description. You're going to see a lot about Pick Six in the future, from myself included. This is going to be something that I probably start doing some content for. Get in on the ground floor while you can. All righty. We're moving pretty quick through this, but again, there's very little to talk about. Atlanta, 13-point dogs in Minnesota. Atlanta already locked into the 10 seed. They have absolutely nothing to play for today. We have no idea who's going to play, not play, minutes, whatever. They're probably going to nerf everybody for the Hawks. Bruno Fernando is the highest owned guy right now at 3%. But we want to point out at least one thing for Atlanta because it's important. Clint Capella is already on the injury report as questionable for rest. Jalen Johnson is hurt. DeJounte Murray is questionable with the right quad contusion. I assume they want to just get Trey out there to like run around and get some court time, get his lungs back. Doesn't appear that we're going to Atlanta unless we get wholesale news that people are going to be out. If Clint Capella is out, however, Bruno Fernando immediately becomes one of the best plays on today's slate. At 4,100, if you start projecting him for 28 minutes, he's going to be the easiest center option for you to get to, I think, for now at least. So keep very close eye on Clint Capella. That piece of news is incredibly important for this spot. But just so we're clear, no one has more than 5% optimal right now. Minnesota still has a 19% chance to be the one seed, a 59% chance to be the two seed, and a 22% chance to be the three seed. So Minnesota wants to win. Now, I don't think they're going to meet a lot of resistance from the Hawks, but at the very least, we can say that Minnesota is going for it. Karl Anthony Towns is questionable for today. Now, he is not going to come back and play massive minutes. No incentive. But they want to start working him back in. But if Towns is back, that means you nerf Naz Reid. And there's a 0% chance that you can play Naz Reid at 7,300 if Towns is back. And it probably means that you're not playing anybody from Minnesota. We did get to 12% ownership on Gobert. I think he's the guy that you get to no matter what for Minnesota, especially if we get Clint Capella out. But then it's 6% ownership to Mike Conley, 2% to Anthony Edwards, 3% to Jaden McDaniels. If Towns is back, all of these guys have had their salaries rise with Towns' absence. Towns being back negates all of these dudes. We're going to need to see people sit in order for this one to look any different. Now, this is one that we are going to have a lot of trouble talking about, but it is going to be a source of interest by the time we get to lock. Milwaukee Bucks. Now, for Milwaukee, 73% chance at the two seed, 18 at the three, still a 9% chance at the four. Falling to the four is a doomsday scenario. You don't want to get Boston in the second round. And you don't want to get them earlier just because of Giannis's status. They're also not really excited if they get Philly, if Giannis is busted up. Milwaukee's injury report. Giannis is out. Marshawn Beauchamp is questionable. AJ Green is out. Dame is doubtful. So some of those things we already know. Brooke Lopez is questionable for rest. Chris Middleton is questionable for his ankle injury. And Bobby Portis is questionable for rest. We don't know what Milwaukee's going to look like. Do those three guys play? Because they want to make sure that, well, I don't, the harder part here. They're 14.5-point underdogs in Oklahoma City with a 223 total. This is a tough game to win. Even if everybody that I just mentioned, Lopez, Middleton, Portis, if they all play, they're still highly likely to lose this matchup. So do you punt it right now, get the rest, and go full bore into the weekend? Or do you still take your shot here? Do you take the shot in the first half and ice everybody if it goes wrong? We don't know what Milwaukee's going to do yet. But if they sit Lopez, Middleton, and Portis, already missing Damian Lillard and Giannis, then Milwaukee is about to become Memphis. Then we're getting to Pat Bev, Pat Connaughton, Malik Beasley, Andre Jackson at 3K, Gallo at 3K. $4,300 Jay Crowder might play 34 minutes in that point. So we don't know what Milwaukee's going to be yet. If they're trying for this game at all, then you probably get all three of those dudes in. The moment you want to sit Middleton, you might as well punt the whole damn game and work your way to the weekend and just get fresh. Maybe that gets Dame back as well. It seems like Milwaukee's going to be sitting people, but having no Dame, no Giannis, I mean, that's like a 7 or 8 point swing right out of the gate. So we need to get their info. Those guys being in or out changes everything. If they're all in, then you want to get to Chris Middleton at 7,900, small forward of eligible, no Giannis, no Dame. You want to get to Pat Bev, who's probably playing 30 minutes no matter what, maybe more, and maybe sees a usage bump if these guys end up out even more. Point guard, shooting guard, and 5K. Bobby Portis is obviously an interesting play, even at 6,900, power forward center eligible, because there's no Giannis and no Dame. This is the dude that's going to have the second biggest usage jump of anybody on the team. But we can't dig into this just yet. We have Chris Middleton 38% optimal right now. I'm just putting that out there. If he's available to play, he's going to be one of the better plays on today's slate. We just don't know it yet. Now, OKC, 23% to be the one seed, 17 to the two seed, 59 to the three seed. All of this seeding is still in play, so you assume Oklahoma City is going for it. Everybody that's normally available for Oklahoma City is available. But because Shea is back and these guys saw a little bit of a price bump, nobody looks good. Even in a great matchup against Milwaukee. 3% ownership to Chet, 3% ownership to Jalen Williams, 1% to SGA. There's nothing here for the Thunder guys. You want to play any of those main guys? Go for it. They look great in GPPs. 4% optimal SGA, 4% optimal Jalen Williams, 4% optimal Chet. There's no love for Oklahoma City in this spot. And who knows? If Milwaukee sits everybody, maybe you grab a little bit of extra rest for SGA and let the rest of these guys take a shot at it. Wouldn't be surprising to see him as a late add. Or maybe they just, maybe you play him 28 minutes and just, again, try to get him some court time and nothing else. But I don't think that we're going to be getting to much of Oklahoma City. Let's just see if we have any plays out on Odds Shopper right now. Why not? Number one play out there on Odds Shopper, they're both coming from the MLB side. Brandon Pfaadt, under 5.5 strikeouts at BetMGM. Dane Dunning, under 4.5 strikeouts at FanDuel. You can grab both of those with 11 Odd Shopper ratings. By the way, we just posted a bunch of Odd Shopper data into our premium Discord, the history of all of our recommended bets across different sports books and things. Data's fantastic. Sign up, check it out. I assume we'll tweet some of it at some point in time, but the model is absolutely smashing, and it has been for months and months. You guys want to be using Odd Shopper, you could sign up using the links in the description of this video. For the NBA, Andrew Wiggins under 14.5 points. We're not going to talk about that game because it's not on the slate. We do have four games at 10 tonight. That is the number one NBA bet that's available for you guys right now. So if you're looking for Andrew Wiggins, go for it. Do we have anything on the pick'em side for you guys? Highest EV play on a pick'em site is Chris Flexen under 4.5 strikeouts at Underdog. Tanner Houck under 6.5 strikeouts at DraftKings for pick six. Two games left to go. Denver is basically in the exact same spot as Minnesota and OKC. Those three teams are jockeying for the top three seeds. Denver is the leader in the clubhouse, and they're playing a San Antonio team missing just about everybody that matters except for Wemby. They're 57% to be the one seed. And if they get the one seed and the West has to go through Denver, the best home court advantage in the league, coming in and playing at elevation against the defending champs, that's tough sledding. Denver wants to lock this shit down and make sure that every single time someone has to play a game seven in the Western Conference playoffs, they got to do that shit in Denver. Now, I assume they also would prefer to just not play game sevens, but this is the hardest place to play in basketball because of elevation and because of the fact that Nikola Jokic, the best player on the planet, is on Denver. So Denver's letting it rip here, I would imagine, which means that we're not getting to Denver. 12,300 for the Nuggets, or for Nikola Jokic on the Nuggets, center only. He's 7% owned. Everybody else is 1% or less. We got him to 8% optimal. We also only gave him 30 minutes. I went the full 36, and I still don't think he looks that great. 1.7 fantasy points per minute, too. The moment that this game is locked down, you're live to not see any of these starters play the fourth quarter. If this is, like, they have no reason to take any risks once the game is settled. But in the first half, might be a decent bet. Take Denver first half. Hope they rest everybody in the second half. But this is where we go for plays. Unfortunately for us, we do have San Antonio here today. Spurs are... Let's get to it here. No Barlow, no Keldon Johnson, no Chetty, no Sohan, no Vassell. 14% ownership coming into Sandro Mamukelashvili. The most of anybody else is 5%. I continue to be at least a little bit interested in Malachi Branham. He is 6% optimal, 5% owned. We have Mamu 8% optimal. San Antonio looks terrible here. It's almost like they're facing a slow-paced team that has a top 10 defense. None of this looks good. And since they've had guys out for a couple games now, the prices on their value garbage started to rise. So I think you can get to some shares of Malachi Branham. I think you could obviously play a little bit of Mamu. You could roll the dice on Wemby. It's not my favorite situation in the world, but you know, if he's going to be out there and playing, there are worst options to take, but I don't think we want to get to San Antonio. And then finally, we get to Detroit and Dallas. The Pistons are 13.5-point dogs in Dallas. Dallas is essentially just set at 5. By all accounts, they're just going to be playing the Clippers 4-5. It would take real weird stuff for it to flip-flop, but they're already set playing the Clippers. We already know that Kyrie Irving is out today. Now, for Detroit, they're on a back-to-back. We do not know the status of Cade. I have absolutely no idea why he would play, but they keep listing him as questionable and then ruling him out, so it seems like they want him to play. 17% ownership coming into Sasser leads me to believe that we left him out. Yeah, so we didn't project Cade in. I did. You're going to look to Sasser if Cade is out. You're going to look to Chimezi Metu either way. Both of those guys are going to be in that 10 to 20% owned range. We just saw these guys play yesterday. And now they're facing a Dallas team that's been a lot better on defense over the past 2 months. They do play fast, which is helpful. But as I look at the Pistons, I like Cade if he's in. If he's not, it's Sasser and it's Metu. And if you want to roll the dice on Jalen Duren, I think that's reasonable, but he is not going to be a popular option. Optimal rates. Like, we have Sasser at 40. That's insane for right now, because we don't know it yet. We also have him in for a fantasy point per minute. That's a little high, too. He's never going to be 40% optimal, but he is going to be around 20% owned if Cade Cunningham is out. Final thing to look at is Dallas, and this is the spot that matters a little bit more. Luka Doncic is 12,900, but there's no Kyrie around. 1.88 fantasy points per minute is where I have Luka Doncic here. He's 19% owned. They have five guys 10% or higher. Hardaway, PJ Washington, Luka, Exum, Gafford. We have Luka, Hardaway, and Gafford all above 10% optimal. A little bit less so on Dante Exum. We only gave Exum 22 minutes. I think that number comes up a little bit throughout the day, and we become a little bit more interested in Exum. Luka's the guy you want from Dallas, and you're going to have more than enough salary to be able to get to him. And I expect them to want to win. And it's Luka against the Pistons. You're going to carve these dudes up. Assuming Dante Exum plays around 30 minutes, and when Luka sat on the 5th, 4 games ago, Dante Exum played 33 minutes. I think Dante Exum's going to play 30 minutes, and I think he looks like a fantastic play. There's a reason he's 18% owned. I'm happy to get to Gafford, Washington, Hardaway. All of these guys get usage bumps and minutes bumps because Kyrie Irving is not playing in this basketball game. Dallas is an oddly functional team for today in a situation where you wouldn't normally have expected it. So we have now just broken down every single game for this show. I want to let you guys know, MLB Strategy Show is coming up at noon for you guys today. So go watch Laffy and Bellman break that one down. Then MLB Live Before Lock at 5 o'clock. NBA Live Before Lock with myself and Eric at 6. And then Greg and I will be hopping on to playback at 7 o'clock to break this one down. We're going to have 10 of the 11 games start by the time we finish playback. We're probably going to get a ton of news between 7 and 7:45. You don't want to miss us on playback. We're exclusive there. You can go to playback.tv/stochastic. If you have League Pass, you can watch along with us. If you don't, we can hand out one of 40 VIP passes that will give you League Pass to watch along with us for the night. I wish that there was more than I can talk about and dig into for this slate, but it really just isn't that kind of show at the end of the season. It just has to be different. This is my table right now of how I have everybody ranked. I'm a huge fan of Jordan Poole if he plays today. Patrick Baldwin looks great. Luka, Jordan Goodwin, Jake LaRavia, Xavier Simpson, Tyler Hero, Corey Kispert, Scottie Pippen, Nikola Vucevic. That is my current top 10. A bunch of those guys are not pulling as much ownership as some of the other guys on this list. But this is where I'm looking right now. All of it's going to change by the time we get later on in the day with injury reports and news. But we'll be here to break it down on NBA Live Before Lock. I think the most important thing for today is laying out each team's scenario. Who is playing for things? Who cares? Who doesn't? We took our best shot at it. Walton Horton. No, that game's not on the slate. The 4:10 o'clock games aren't on today's slate, so that will not be discussed. That's it, guys. We're done here. Another one in the books. I'll see you guys on Sunday for NBA Live Before Lock at noon. Eric and I are going to take that one into 1 o'clock. And then starting next week, I don't think there are games on Monday, so you won't get an NBA show. I think it starts up. I think the first playing game is Tuesday. April 16th. Am I right or wrong? Now I start to think I'm wrong. Oh, no, I'm right. All right. Play-in starts on the 16th. I will be back for the strategy show for the play-in games that take place on Tuesday. And at that point, we can really dig into a slate. So, guys, thank you for being here. Hit the like button on your way out the door. Sign up for the UFC package. Promo code 300 gets you 30% off. It's been a great season, folks. We just put the strategy show / the process show to bed for the final time in the regular season. It's been fun. I love this show so much. I'll talk to you later.